Why don't you go ahead and open up your Bibles to John chapter 4, verses 4 through 30 is where we're going to find ourselves this morning. And, you know, and in ways, I think it's really appropriate that the Christian Women's Center is here sharing with us this morning as we read the passage about the Samaritan woman and this work that Jesus ends up doing in the Samaritan woman's heart. But if you haven't been with us, you know that we've been exploring this idea of hospitality. What does it mean to fulfill our mission at First Pres through hospitality? And our mission statement is to invite hungry people to be filled with joy in Christ Jesus. And we've broken down our mission statement over the last several weeks and been attacking each little part of it and exploring it in the scripture from a perspective of hospitality. And today we're looking at the next part of it, that they would be filled with joy. And so the title of the sermon is Hospitality, Pursuing for Joy, for the sake of joy. Joy is one of the most important things that we see, or one of the biggest gifts in what we receive in coming to know Jesus. But before I get too far into our passage this morning, I just want to share a little bit about one of my greatest fears. And you're going to be like, okay, where is he going with this? But one of my biggest fears is hospitals. And that's going to sound crazy to you, but I do not like them. I don't like being a patient of one. I don't like going to visit. It's really hard to get myself to show up to a hospital. And it's really interesting because as I kind of think in some sort of way, the Christian Women's Center kind of acts like a hospital, right? In some sort of way, it acts as a hospital for those that have been addicted to something. But I have always hated them. They've never been my favorite place to go. I just can remember from as early as I can remember, just I don't like them. But here's the thing. Throughout our entire series so far, we've never actually defined hospitality. But isn't it interesting that hospital and hospitality share the same root? And the root of both of those words is hospice or hostis. Both are Latin. It's a Latin root. And it simply means stranger, guest, and even enemy. Isn't that interesting? That's where we get the word hostile. We know that one is hostile because they are an enemy, right? And so hospice, hostis, comes as a stranger, a guest, or an enemy. And we also get other root words like host, hotel, hostel. And these are all places and spaces to make for strangers, right? Where we make room for them in our lives in one way or another. And maybe you've heard it before, but churches, in some sense, are in fact hospitals. Where hospitals are the places where the physically sick go, churches are the place where spiritually sick people go. Churches are the place where we get to meet people in their spiritual sickness and bring about hopeful healing. And so it's ironic that I found myself serving in a church, the hospital for the spiritually sick, but I'm not too fond of the place for the physically sick. God has a sense of humor, I think, in a lot of ways. But our causes are not dissimilar. They're not all that different. And so that's kind of what I want to keep in our minds today as we read our passage and as we unpack it a little bit. And so if you will please join me in John chapter 4, we're just going to start in verse 4 and we're going to go through verse 30. And so bear with me, it's a little bit lengthy, but it's good. And he had to pass through Samaria, speaking about Jesus. And so Jesus came to a city in Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. And so Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour, so around noontime. And a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, "How do you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, being a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And she said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst, ever. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty, nor come back here to draw." He said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know, and we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point, the disciples came, and they were marveling that he was speaking with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" So the woman left her water jar and went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who told me all the things that I have done. Is this not the Christ?" And they went out of the city and were coming to him. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you just so much for the word that you have brought to us this morning. Lord, as we continue to be seekers of hospitality, I pray that you would lead us closer to yourself, knowing that any work of hospitality first and foremost comes from you. So Lord, lead us and guide us as only you can. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. You see, what I love about this story so much is that Jesus has created this opportunity. Last week, we were talking about the importance of creating a place and a space with your face, right? I'm going to bring that up again, but a place and a space with your face. There's a relationship involved in creating space where hospitality can flourish. Whether that's in the church or in your home or in your workplace, we create those spaces. We create that with our presence, with the relationship that we're building. And Jesus is no different in this moment with the Samaritan woman. He's come at the sixth hour around noon time in the heat of the day, and he's there without the disciples. They've gone to find food, and it's just him. But he's created this space. He has an idea about what is about to happen, and he's sitting there. The Samaritan woman has no idea what she's about to receive. She has no idea that maybe her heart is desperately sick, but there is one who is waiting to heal her from her sickness. And for me, that is a beautiful thing. Because here is this woman coming in the heat of the day because she is not welcome to come in the morning with all the other women down in the city when they draw water from the well. And so she has to come alone, and Jesus has created just this space, just this opportunity to meet her. To meet her where she is at with everything that she has going on. It is an unimaginable moment, probably one of deep desperation and exhaustion for the Samaritan woman as she comes up, and when she thinks that she's going to be alone, she ends up meeting a Jewish man. Maybe there's a little bit of fear in her heart as she approaches because she knows that they do not get along. And then when she approaches, he says, "Get me some water." Probably not the greatest invitation, so to speak. And yet it opens the door to a greater conversation. Because Jesus knows that in asking for a little bit of water, she would start questioning the water that he is seeking. And then he would be able to turn the tables on her and say, "Well, if you knew who you speak to, greater water is there than this that comes from the well." And so this conversation continues, and she's beginning to open up as he speaks a little bit more. You see, conversation opens people's hearts. And then the greatest thing of all happens. As we get to the end of the passage, it says that the woman left her water jar in verse 28. And she went into the city and said to the men, "Come, see a man who has told me all the things that I have done. Is this not the Christ?" And so they went out of the city and they were coming to him. I can just imagine this moment. After having this long conversation with Jesus about water and living water and the Messiah that is coming, and he reveals to her, "I am the one of whom you are speaking." She arrives completely dejected because of the rejection that she faces in her town. But she leaves completely overjoyed and full because she has encountered something far greater. It's amazing to me how one can step into a situation completely emptied and completely overwhelmed and exhausted, completely burdened and heavy laden, as Jesus reminds us in Matthew chapter 11. But it's those that he says, "Come to me." And that's what he's doing in this moment with the Samaritan woman. He's saying, "Come to me, you who are burdened, so heavy laden, so weary. Probably because of the choices you've made, but that makes no difference to me." I love what one commentary says. It says, "In her eagerness to enjoy the new and living water, she abandons the old water jar and thus speaks of renunciation of the old ceremonial forms of religion in favor of worship in spirit and in truth." She is releasing what was to receive what Jesus had for her in that moment. And I love it. It's in her eagerness to enjoy it. She leaves that moment full of joy. And to enjoy it, it means that she goes out and shares it. She shares it with the very city that rejects her. Those are the very ones that she goes and returns to with this good news of the one that she has encountered. We've already talked about how churches and hospitals are so similar. And here it is, as hospitals help to seek sick people, hoping that they leave feeling better than when they arrived, so churches should exist to do the same. We should meet people with something greater than their physical need, but a spiritual need, but they might come in with all kinds of heavy and burdensome things. And our hope of good hospitality is that when they leave the church, that has been lifted. And they can leave a little bit more joyful than when they entered, than the moment that they have, than when they arrived. When we were talking about who is our neighbor, about that great commandment, we even looked at Galatians chapter 5. When Paul leaves out the greatest commandment and just turns to the second, which is like it, that you should love your neighbor as yourself. And we came to the conclusion that he left out the first part because it's presumed that you have to love God in order to love your neighbor. But all of this happens in the context of revealing what the fruit of the Spirit are. And we talked previously about how you cannot just speak about the fruit of the Spirit as spiritual formation, but also as a means of relation to another. Paul is so specific about that. It's within the context of loving each other that we also bear the fruit of the Spirit. It is in witness to each other that we bear love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so it is also that as the church encounters hospice and hostis, as we encounter strangers and guests, and yes, even enemies, we do so with the fruit of the Spirit in hopes that they also might leave with the fruit of the Spirit. And so bearing the fruit in your life in manners of hospitality is that so that those you encounter also leave with the fruit of the Spirit because of your hospitality. And so how does this become accomplished ultimately in the church? What does it look like for the church to be the hospitals for spiritual need? Well, I think the first is, let's look at verses 15 through 18. And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty nor come back here to draw." And he said to her, "Go, call your husband and then come back." And she said, "But I don't have a husband." And Jesus like, "Yeah, you're right. You don't. In fact, the man you are with is not your husband, and you have had five." In ways, it's kind of disheartening when you first hear that. He's like calling her out a little bit. And I'm not saying that's how we should be with people that we encounter in the world, but I think Jesus displays something that we often miss. And that's it, that we miss. Jesus demonstrates a full awareness of who is approaching, of who has entered into his realm of hospitality. And so part of how we fill people with joy is that we are aware of them. That is, new people arrive through our doors, we're aware that somebody new has walked through the doors. And it's not just about visitors, but it's noticing the people that walk through that maybe they seem a little bit down. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what's going on in their heart right now? It's maybe noticing somebody that's maybe a little bit quieter than usual. And this person's usually the first one to stand up and go greet somebody, but today they're still sitting in their seat when we called for greeter time. I'm noticing that. I'm seeing with my eyes that something is going on. And sometimes it's an awareness of who's missing. Who's not here this morning? Who didn't join us? How might I respond to their absence? Part of demonstrating hospitality that they might be filled with joy is that we would arrive every single week with eyes to see. Eyes open in expectation to meet someone where they are at. In whatever's going on in their heart, whatever burden they might be carrying, that we would have the eyes to see. But it's not just enough to have the eyes to see them. We then have to respond. We have to respond to what we are seeing. And Jesus actually started there. And so if we look at verses 10 through 15, Jesus knew that what the woman needed was water. Living water, in fact. But the way in which he decided to provide it, once he was aware, was to ask questions. He said, "Hey, would you bring me some water?" And she's like, "Why are you asking me? We don't get along." And he's like, "Well, if you had known who you were speaking to, you might ask me for water instead." And he's like, "Well, who are you? You don't even have anything to draw water from the well." And he's like, "I provide a water that is far greater than the physical water that you could get out of the well. I want to give you living water." It is that he is seeing, he is aware, and then he is providing. He's providing exactly what she seeks, even when she does not know it. And sometimes we enter into hospital places not even fully aware what it is that we need. But we hope that the doctors will know. And maybe somebody arrives to church not really understanding why they have shown up. But hopefully, the people of God, in their awareness and in discernment with the Holy Spirit, would know why they showed up and would be able to offer something to meet them in their time of great need. And so we have to be willing to not just be aware and to see, but to also provide. And in the context of this entire story, the next thing is that we have to be persistent. Jesus just keeps coming back again and again. He's like, "I don't think you've really gotten it yet. I don't think you've really heard what I'm saying yet. Here, I'm going to say it one more time. Here, I'm going to bring it to you one more time. I want you to hear what I'm saying. I'm the living water. I'm the living water. I'm the one you seek. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one you've been waiting for. I am him. I provide the water." He keeps coming back again and again. There is a persistence. I think oftentimes we try in our abundance to provide that need, and when we fail, we give up. "I tried one week. I'm not going to try again. I'm not going to try the next week. They rejected me. They rejected it. They rejected what I was trying to offer, the care that I wanted to bring to them. They weren't very receptive when I asked what their name was." But a part of hospitality is to not give up. In hospitality, to keep pursuing. That's why I said we pursue for joy. Because people are going to show up and they're not always going to leave the way that we hope. But if they showed back up, then we know they're still searching. Which means we need to keep persisting. Keep pushing forward. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to fail. You're going to fail in your hospitality. You're going to fail in trying to connect to that person that you were totally aware of. And it's not always going to be pretty. It's not always going to be perfect. But Jesus is calling us to persistence. Which leads me to the most important. The most important part of this entire passage in what it means to pursue people for joy, that they would leave with joy-filled hearts, is this. And we've said it so many times, and we're going to say it again and again and again. Verses 20 through 26. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem. But Jesus says, believe me, the hour is coming when neither this mountain nor Jerusalem will you worship the Father. But an hour is coming, but now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people, the Father seeks to be his worshipers. After everything that we could possibly do in making someone feel welcome, the most important is that we leave them with the knowledge that all that we do is because of Jesus. And that all that we do in our hospitality is to make a single invitation to worship him in spirit and in truth. To let people know and to not shy away from the opportunity to say, I want you to have what I have. I'm so excited. I'm so overjoyed because of what Jesus has done in my life. Because I came to this church spiritually dead, and I left alive because of the grace of Jesus Christ, because of his work on the cross to forgive me of my sins and to walk me into everlasting life. How appropriate as we walk into Holy Week, as we recognize on Palm Sunday the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that he is worthy of worship. And that for somebody to be filled with joy is ultimately not dependent upon us, though we have been called to partner with God in the work, but it's really a work of God in their hearts. After we have done everything that we are called to do, the single hope is that the Holy Spirit has not just planted a seed, but that God has watered it and that it will sprout into new life. And so let us pursue hospitality with the hope of the gospel touching every single heart, that as they showed up to the hospital of the church, that they would leave with the joy of Christ. And mind you, the church isn't just this building and its four walls. The church is wherever you are present. Whether it's in your home, at work, in the grocery store, at the restaurant you visit after church today, I don't know. But with an awareness to see, a desire to provide, to persistently pursue, and to invite into worship of Jesus, I know that we can change our community to be a place where the kingdom of God is revealed. Let us pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the example of the Samaritan woman, of the hospitality that you displayed so sweetly. God, I can only pray that my eyes would be open enough to see those that are in need of the joy that you offer in yourself. And God, that I would be so filled with the Spirit that your fruit would overflow, that they would bear good fruit too. All the while pointing them to you. And that we might say together, Hosanna in the highest. And blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.